Itmar. Hamaycher sada lechaveiro v'nimtzis she'ena shalai. We have a sugya of a person who's a con artist. He goes over to someone, he sells him a nice house, but the house he's selling him does not belong to the seller. So he cheats him, he goes over to someone, and he shows him a house, and he gives him a good price, mustam, and he sells him someone else's house, or someone else's field. So there's no question that when the real owner comes, it's his house, he never sold it, he gets it back. Rav Omer, Yesh Loi Mois, V'yesh Loi Shvach. Now this person who was conned, the person who was fooled into paying, what does he get back? So Rav says, not only does he get his Mois back, but he gets his Shvach back as well. If he's Mashpiach the Karka, then Rashi says, Bezevel Loi Begeder, he either fertilized the field or he built a fence around the field. So then he gets his money back from the seller. V'Shmuel Amar Meis Yesh Loi Shvach Ein Loi. Shmuel agrees, of course, he gets his money back that he paid for it. But what he was mishabeach it, Shmuel says, this which he made the field worth more, he doesn't get. Now, before we go into the lumdis, what should the pashtus be? Should he get the shvach back or shouldn't he get it back? What's the pashtus? You sell me someone a house that's not yours. You fool me, you sell me a house that's not yours, and I paint the house. Do you have to pay me back for my painting the house? Pashtus, huh?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Pashtus is yeah.
So
what's that? So what's that? It's your fault I spent the money. So that sounds like a grammar. Doesn't sound like something that's chayiv, no? Pashtus.
Who should have to pay?
The Gemara doesn't say a new knas. If you fool me into spending money, so you don't have to pay me back.
I would say Pashtus to me, so
all right, so that's a separate issue. All right, there are two issues. There's the owner of the house, the real owner. Then there's the Goslin, and then there's the Lekeach. So the Goslin sold it to the Lekeach. Now the Lekeach is giving the original owner the Shvach and the field. Now that part of it, Rishonim do talk about. Why does it go to the original owner? So the easiest pshat is Tosfos, the top Tosfos. Yesh lo shvach shehanigzal lekeach hakarka im hashvach. Veinei mishalem lekeach. Why does Takeh nigzal? Why does he get the shvach? So Tosfos says, veinei mishalem lekeach rak hayetziyah k'din yeru l'tasod hachaveirish lo b'rishus. But the halacha is, if I go and I paint your house, you didn't ask me to paint it. You wake up one morning and your house has a nice coating of paint on it. So I tell you, pay me, I painted your house. You tell me, I didn't ask you to paint it. So what's the din? I tell you, look, you painted my house, take your paint back. You know, you can't take it back, so what do we do?
Well,
that's Tosfos. Tosfos says, Meshvach Yeser El Yitzia. You have to pay me the lower of the two, either my expenses or what I improve the value of the house. Right? If your house doesn't need a painting, so I didn't improve anything, and then I don't pay anything. If your house needed a paint job, I painted your house. So you have to reimburse me the smaller amount, either my cost, my which is usually the smaller amount, or the amount that I made your house worth more. Okay, that's the din. If I go down to your field and I plant your field, same thing. You pay whatever's less, either the shvach or the yitziyah. Tosfos says that's the din here. Tosfos is, I think, the easiest pshat that the original owner of the house had a field. The ganav sold it to the lekeach. The ganav sold to the lekeach as a shtus. It's a narishkeit. Kilu, nothing happened. So it comes out the lekeach is just the yeru l'tasad hachaveiro of the original owner, and it's a very simple case. The mechira is nothing; it doesn't count for anything. It was baloney. It was a gzeila, and we don't even we're not goyris it. So all that remained was a yerat, was the person fixing up the other person's house. That's how Tosfos learns. Now, first of all, before you get to Rashi, according to Tosfos, I ask my question again. Why should the meicher pay the lekeach? Why should the meicher pay the lekeach anything? Is the pashtus that he should pay or he shouldn't pay? Yesh lo yishvach, ein lo yishvach. What's the pashtus? So you told me pashtus, he should get it back. I think it's a big chiddush. What happened? You sold me Pliny's house and I painted his house. So from him I'll get paid back the cost of my paint, my yitzias. But I made the house worth a lot more. I want more money. So should you pay me back what I made the house worth more? That's a tremendous chiddush.
Why? Somebody else's house. I know your solution of Haveri only gets paid back for the Haitzois. I don't do it to everybody else. I did it for myself.
Right.
It's worth it for me, the fact that
that's true. That's 100% true. So now, this Ganif, why should he reimburse you for painting the house?
Because I didn't paint anybody else. I only wanted to paint my house.
That's very true. I didn't ask that. I asked you, why should he pay you anything? Well, what Dine Mammon does he have to pay you? He's a Mazik? He's a Ganif? What is he?
I would say it's a Shulman Garmi or a Gromo or something.
Well, a grama, maybe. Garmi, how's it a garmi?
So I bought the house, I'm going to fix it up. Is that a bari hezek? I'm
going to
fix it up.
So
I'm going to have the hezek.
That's a hezek? All right, then we're going to have to be mevar that. I want you to see what shver. Again, like Tosfos first. It's your house. A guy have sold it to me. I painted your house. Tosfos says, hey, so he give me. My expenses I get back. Why should I get more? Why should I get the shvach? Why should the guy who sold it to me have to give me shvach? He's a naughty person. He did a not nice thing. He sold me something that's not his. But why should he have to pay me what I improved it? Very, very hard to understand. And Rav says, yesh lo shvach. If I stoys from the next line, Shmuel also would hold yesh lo shvach, just as Mezli Karibis, that's awesome. But the advice is everyone would hold. I'm supposed to get reimbursed. Why am I supposed to get reimbursed? Why am I entitled to get reimbursed the shvach? Very difficult. Like that, the Rishonim don't talk about. They all talk about the deal between the original owner and the one who painted the house or put up a fence around the field. That they all talk about. But why the ganiv should have to pay the person who did it, I don't see that, at least not the Rishonim, that they should explain that. So we'll see. Okay, let's see. Well, the Gemara's next question is Pirish Leimahu. Well, the Gemara's Lashon is Mashon. This was even without Pirish Leishvach. It's Fakert. Boy, my name is Rafuna Pirish Leimahu. So I say, till now, we're not talking Pirish. Okay, before I get to this, I just want to point out that Rashi argues with Tosfos. Now, again, there are two deals here. There's one deal between the original owner and the victim, the lekeach. And as I said, that we should do talk about. There's one question, the deal between the gazlan and the lekeach. It's all one sugya, but you have to deal with both. On the deal between the original owner and the lekeach, Tosfos says that he has to give him back the yitzias, and the shvach he doesn't give him back. Rashi seems to disagree. Rashi, at the end of Dibra Maskel, v'yesh lo shvach. Let's see the whole Rashi. Yesh lo shvach. Im zesh biyeches akark bezevel oy begeder. He fertilized or fenced in the field. Kaidim shaitzi nigzal miyadai. Goyev aloykeach ben amaycha shvach. Loykeach buys the shvach from the maycha. Im taimar hanigzal yiten hashvach. Why should the Nigzal, they stole a $100 field from him, they gave him back a $120 field, why should he get it? So Rashi, you're right. When the Gazan stole it, it was worth $100. It went down, let's say, to 80. And now he improved it back up to 100. So therefore, the Nigzal is entitled to get his full 100. A $100 field was stolen from him. He's entitled to get his full 100. So he gets the field with the fertilized field, the whole $100 worth of the field. That's why he gets it. Now Rashi is not like Tosfos, because according to Tosfos, There's no kasha. Why does he get it? It's yarlut hasad chaver, right? That's why he gets it. Somebody's yarlut hasad chaver, you pay yitzias. Rashi says, why does the nigzal get back the painted house or the fenced in field? Rashi says, because it went down, and this compensates for what it went down. That's not like Taisus. Taisus doesn't have to say it went down, went up. It's pasha. It's yarlut hasad chaver. So it turns out we have two pshatim in why the owner reimburses, why the owner, original owner, is entitled to the shvach. Taisus says, like Yair the Tarsada Chavei, right? And Taisus and Rashi says, we're talking in a case where the improvement only brought it back to its original value. These are the two pshatim here, Rashi and Taisus. Now, the issue of why the Goslin has to pay the shvach, that needs a hesper. That the Gemara doesn't say. The Gemara does say Pshat and Shmuel. Let's see it inside. Boi mi neimer rafuna pirish leis hashvach mau. What does it mean? Pirish leis hashvach. It means when he sold it to him, the seller guaranteed the shvach. If you make it be worth more, I guarantee it. Time of the Shmuel mishum loy pirish vacha. Shmuel till now is talking dafka loy pirish vacha pirish leis ma'ida. Or maybe Shmuel said, no, really, you should get the Shvach. Just as Merzi Karibis, now you have to understand, why is it Merzi Karibis? So those of you who are learning Ezeneshechulchap right away, otherwise you have to focus on what's going on here. Why does it look like Ribis? The reason it looks like Ribis is because when the buyer gave the Ganav the money, it seemed he was giving him for a purchase. But we know it wasn't a purchase. So he was actually just giving him money to hold. He was fooled into doing it, but he gave him money to hold. Now he's giving him back the money. So it's similar to a halva. Since it's similar to halva, he can't give him back more money than he originally gave him. So he gave him $100 for the field. He can't give him back $120. It's Merzi Karibis. So he said, is that Shmuel's reason? Amli in Vlav Rafi Biyade. So he wasn't sure what the answer is until Itma Amar of Nachman Amar Shmuel Mois Yesh Lo Shvach Ein Loi Afal Pisha Pirish Lo Yesh Shvach My Tama Kivin De Karka Ein Loi Schar Moisav Oymed V'Neitel, because it looks like Schar Moisav, which is Ribbis, it's Melzika Ribbis. Comes out, Rav and Shmuel both agree that were not for Dine Ribbis. The Ganiv has to reimburse the Loikeach, the Shvach, not just the Yitzias, the Hitzois. But the shvach, that even if loy pirish, it says afal pisha pirish, it means both pirish or loy pirish, and that needs a hesber. It's hard to understand why, if I give you a field, and you improve the field, and it turns out it wasn't my field to give you, why should be reimbursed? Very difficult to understand that. The Pashtus doesn't seem to have Eretz. Now, according to Taisvis, it's a bigger chiddush than Rashi, because Rashi, maybe yesh lo shvach, perhaps, can mean the hitzayis, the yitzias. According to Taisvis, it means even the shvach sheyeser al yitzia. And certainly it needs a certain amount of hesber. In the Eitzer, I saw he brings that the Chassam Sofer is matmi on this. And the Chedushei Arim, he brings both, the Chassam Sofer and the Chedushei Arim. We talk about whether this is Grama or Garmi. And they both struggle. This seems to be the hard part of this Gemara. The Chassam Sofer I would call it being madchik, that whenever you sell somebody something, there's an implied achrayus of gezeila. There's an implied achrayus that it's mine. If it's not mine, I'm responsible. It's an implied achrayus, and it's always like pirish leis hashvach, according to the Maskan. And that's why you have to pay. So that's a type of svara which, all right, if you're makabal, you're makabal. It doesn't go with the regular rules. It only means after the ibay. After the ibay, that pirish leis hashvach changes nothing. He says, why? Because it's always ki'ilu perish lo yisa shvat. Sort of. The question is how vayt achrayus goes, I think. Certainly, Rav, we know how holds achrayus to a sefer, but how vayt is the achrayus, even on the shvach? That's the chiddush. The chiddush Rim mixes in here the sugi of hoitzi haitzoi salpiv. So I have to tell you, there's a klal in Dina de Garmi, there's a rule which is known as hoitzi haitzoi salpiv, which is a type of Garmi. I'll tell you what it is. Let's say you go into a printer shop and you tell them, print up invitations for me. I'm making a bar mitzvah, I'm making a wedding. Print up invitations. You didn't do any kinyan, you didn't give him any money. You just told him to print invitations for you. So he prints invitations. You come back a week later, you say, no, I don't want it. I'm not interested. So he says, pay me. Do you have to pay him? No? You have to pay him? No? All you did is said words, you didn't make any kinyan. According to the rules, l'chayra, why do I have to pay it for? Huh? That's called? Called consider what? No, mouth is never a contract. Words ba'alma is never a contract. If I just say, I'm going to give you something, that's not binding, you need a kinyan.
Maybe
it would be mishapara, perhaps. But not mishapar, mechusri amun. Mishapar is when you give kesef. But dibur ba'alma is a right kesef. It could also be chayz. Mechusri amuna. So the halacha is there's a concept in Shulchan Aruch and Siman Shin Lamed Gimel. There's a concept of Hoitzi Aitzai Salpiv. It's Shin Lam Gimel Sif Ches. And the case of Hoitzi Aitzai Salpiv is that if you spend money based on my words to you, and it's a type of thing which anybody that I tell this to would normally spend money, that's called Garmi. That's Dino de Garmi. Garmi and Grama, you should know that the word Grama and Garmi in Taich is the same thing, cause. It's a code word. Grama is a gairim that I'm potter for. Garmi is a type of gairim for which I'm chayiv to pay. And when am I chayiv to pay garmi? A little hard to say exactly. The Shach says that the rules of garmi are wherever you find a makar in shas, that grama is chayiv, we call it garmi. Garmi, hoitzi haitzai salpiv, is one of those cases where it says in the Gemara that if you spend money based on my say-so, I have to reimburse you. The same thing. Let's say you say, you ask me to lend you money. I say, I'll lend you money, but write up a contract. So you go, you get a lawyer. And the lawyer you spend money on a lawyer, he writes up a contract. You come back, I say, I don't want to lend you. So you say, yeah, I spent money on the contract. So the Sma, the ancient Lama Gimel, says, that's also Hoitzi Haitzai Salpiv. I have to reimburse you the cost. I said I'd lend you money. Since I said I'd lend you money, I have to reimburse you the cost. That's Hoitzi Haitzai Salpiv. The question is our Gemara a case of Hoitzi Haitzai Salpiv? I sell you a field. What are you going to do with the field? You don't play to look at it. Open to stare at the field, you plan to plant it. So is that called Hoitzi Haitzai Salpiv? This is the Chiddush Yerim Safik. If this Gemara is maybe the reason you have to pay him is Hoitzi Haitzai Salpiv. You sell someone a field, it's not your field. You pretend that it's yours, you sell it to him. It's like Hoitzi Haitzai Salpiv. So there's a Tshuvas Rabbi Kiva Eger, which is a cloud, and the rule of Hoitzi Haitzai Salpiv. Kiva Eger asks a stira from the rule of Hoitzi Haitzai Salpiv Chayiv to the Gemara in Bava Basra in the beginning of, what is it, Beis Kor, I think. The Gemara says, if I sell you seeds, and you take the seeds and you plant the field, turns out the seeds I sold you are seeds that can't grow. There's some seeds that are not capable of growing into a tefuah. some seeds that are. I sold you seeds that are not royal Israel. So you come back. So the din is, I have to repay you back for the seeds, those are mekartos. But I do not have to pay you the cost that you spent money hiring workers to plant your field.
No, but
what?
He
even if I knew, I don't have to pay. The Rabbi Kivega says, why isn't that hoitzi etzois alpiv? Why isn't that also hoitzi etzois alpiv? If I sell your seeds, of course you're going to plant it. So Rabbi Kivega has a geder. He says that hoitzi etzois alpiv is only if I tell you beferish to spend the money. I say beferish print invitations. I say beferish write up a shtar halvah. You go into a store and you order a custom-made table. So you're beferish telling the person, be moitzi hoitzois alpiv. When you say so beferish, that's hoitzi hoitzois alpiv. That's dina de garmi and yechayiv. When you don't say so beferish, even though every normal person does it, Rabbi Kivega writes, this is a tshuva kufla medali, he writes that it's not... That's not hoitzi etzois alpiv. And there's no din, chiyuv. It's interesting. What was Rabbi Kivega's shaila? The shaila was somebody ordered merchandise from a seller. The person shipped it to him. He said he doesn't want it. The shaila is, if you order merchandise, you return the merchandise, right? Do you have to pay the shipping charges for what he shipped it to you? Is that hoitzi etzois alpiv? That was the Rabbi Kivega shaila in the tshuva. Somebody ordered, his case was he ordered peiros yevashim. He ordered things that don't spoil, so he could send it back. But it costs money, shipping charges, right? UPS or whatever Rabbi Kivega had in his days. The shipping costs. So Rabbi Kivega says that if you tell him send it to me, even though you didn't say spend money to send it to me, as long as you said send it to me, that's how you say it's always alpiv. Rabbi Kivega says you have to pay shipping charges. If you tell someone to ship something, let's say you get it. And let's say you don't like this color, you want a different color, you send it back. So Rabbi Kivega says you have to pay the person the cost of shipping. Because that's dina de garmi. That's how you say it's always alpiv. At any rate, this is Rabbi Kivega's geder. Lefizeh, according to this geder, comes out in our sugya that you should be potter. I sold you a field. I told you b'peh mole you should build a fence. You should fertilize. I didn't say anything. L'chayra, in Agimara, the ganiv who sold the field to the lekeach, he should be potter because the geder of hoitzi etzois al piv is only if I told him be hoitzi etzois. I didn't tell him to be mishabeach, the field. So it should be no different than I give someone seeds and he plants. I don't have to pay him his hoitzos. So frek techidushi arim. You should be potter. The whole grama that Agamara is similar to hoitzi etzois alpiv. But according to Rabbi Kivega's klal of hoitzi etzois alpiv, which is pashtus, the accepted klal lahalacha, in our case, you should be potter. So why? If you sell someone a house and he paints it, you sell someone a field and he fertilizes it, why do you have to pay?
Even if the Gazan is considered to see what's also on field, it wouldn't explain twice to us why the Gazan has to pay.
Right. Oh. It does not explain the Shvach. It only, you'll see in a second, he's going like Rashi. Zachtech Dushay Harim, Achab. He says, the way I understand it from the Yitzir, I didn't look at the Chushirim inside, he says, why did Rashi say in this Gemara? The Gazlan stole a field that was worth $100. Then it went down to 80. The Shvach pushed it back to 100. And then the Nigzal took the field back. That's the Maaseh Shehaya Kachay. How much does the Gazlan owe the Nigzal? How much does he owe the Nigzal? The Gazlan owes the Nigzal. See some Rashi, he owes him the whole 100. You could tell me Kakei the Nigzalas, he could have Kashas on it. But from Rashi, it's clear that the gazlin owes the nigzal the $100 that the field was worth at the time he stole it. Zakta chedushei arim. You know why yesh lo shvach? Rashi's kavana is dafka in Rashi's case. Because the nigzal paid up his chayiv with the shvach of the lekeach. What did he do? He took the shvach, the lekeach's shvach, that he improved the field, and he took that, and he paid up his chayiv with it. He owed $100. The field was only 80. If there was no shvach, he'd pay the 80, and he'd still owe 20. It turns out the nigzal paid his chayiv that he owes 100 to the nigzal, to the nigzal. The gazlan paid up his chayiv to the nigzal with the shvach that I put in the field.
Is it true that they have 100 and no shvach?
It seems that way from Rashi, even though they yes, that it's kake and nigzalas, it's a kasha. But Rashi seems to hold that you have to pay the whole 100. So however we're going to be Basba Rashi, why you have to pay the whole 100? So the chidushi arim, it comes out, he's paying up someone his own chayiv with someone else's money. That, I think we usually call that mishtar shalei. It's an expression which comes from a sugya in Chulin. Mishtar shalei. Mishtar shalei means exactly that. If I pay up my chayiv with someone else's money, I have to reimburse him. I have to pay him back. The Gemara's case of mishtar shalei is the tax collector comes to my house. He says he's short $1,000 taxes. So he comes into my house, and I happen to have in my house a pekudin. You gave me a. The Gemara is actually talking about truma, but it could be the same thing. A pekudin. I have a basket of wheat in my house. It's not mine. But this tax collector comes into my house for my $1,000 I owe him, and guess what he takes? He takes your basket, your pekudin. So I cover my face, I shouldn't smile outright, right? And I'm very happy he's taking your stuff, or truma, whatever he's taking, and he goes home. I say, delightful, you know, I owed $1,000 taxes, and guess what? I'm an oinis, because this is my anis, his potter. And my anis came and he took away your truma. So the Gemara says, no, you have to pay him back. That's mishtar shalei. Mishtar shalei means, your chayiv, you pottered with someone else's thing, you have to pay him back. Your net value, you know, if an accountant figures out your net value, went up $1,000 because of this. That's the din of mishtar shalei, that you have to pay him back. Dushirim learns in Rashi, it's not going to help for Tosfos. He learns in Rashi that that's the case of the Gemara. Hichsifa biyad gazla. It went down, the gazlan stole $100 field. It went down to 80. Now it popped back up to 100. That's why you have to pay. This is the Chidushirim's pshat. When you finish, I have to tell you, it doesn't leave you satisfied. Because Rashi does not seem to be saying this as the whole key to the sugya. The problem is that the kasha is a shtarka kasha. Without this teretz, the kasha is a shtarka kasha. Why does the gazlan reimburse the shvach? And like Tosfos, I don't even have a teretz. Like Tosfos says, they reimburse him more than his yitzias. Even the extra shvach, very, very hard to understand why. Why does he have to reimburse him the shvach? I don't know. It's a very hard thing to understand. Why should he reimburse him the shvach? If you... See, Tosfos, I understand very well. You tell me, let's say you sell me somebody's house. It's not your house. So I give you money for the other person's house. So Tosfos says, what I gave you money has nothing to do with the house. The house is the other person's yesterday, it's the other person's today. You conned me out of money. So Tosfos says, I understand. I went to the house now and I painted it. So the gazlan, what gazlan? Even the word gazlan doesn't make sense. He didn't steal the house. He fooled me into giving him money. So the gazlan for me. That makes a lot of sense. The whole thing counts, kilu, it didn't exist, as if it never happened. And I have to take it out with the owner of the house. I was just like I went to paint someone's house. The Balamor goes so wide. You know, the Balamor says that if you sell me someone else's house, the shtar you give me, the shtar of sale, we wrote a contract. You wrote my house at 1926 East 22nd Street. I hereby sell to you. It's not your house. The Baal HaMor says, like Shmuel at least, that it's a shtar halva. It's not a shtar mechira. He calls it a shtar halva. What kind of shtar mechira? It's not your house. You're selling me a house? It's someone else's house. The Baal HaMor says it's like a shtar halva. It's a shtar halva. You're borrowing money from me. You're fooling me into lending you money, right? If you're telling me it's your house, you give me a whole story. All you're doing is fooling me into lending you money. That's Tysus. I understand. It's beautiful the way you analyze the sugya like Tysus. But bottom line, like Tysus, why does the Gazlan have to pay back the Shvach? I don't know. I have no clue. I have no idea why the Gazlan should have to pay me back for improving the house by painting it. Very hard to understand. Now, if you'll tell me Haitzei Tzais up here, maybe, but the first Haitzei Tzais is only Haitzei. Second of all, the Chidushim shows that it's not Haitzei Tzais up here. So what is it? Why do I have to reimburse you? It's very hard to understand. Very, very... Yeah. See, that's what bothers me on this sugya. It's not only Rashi, but Rashi, Taisvis, the Ritva, the Rajba. Baal HaMor has an arichas on this sugya, a little arichas. The Ritva has a little piece on it. Nobody's bothered. Everyone talks about the deal between the original owner of the house and the person who improved it. Like between the two of them, like Rashi and Taisvis talk about. But between the Gazlin and the one who improved that, he reimburses him the Shvach. They seem to understand it very pashut. And we're stuck. I don't really understand why it should be that way. Why should it be that way that the Gazlan has to reimburse? And the Gazlan, he did an awful thing, but why does he have to reimburse the Shvach? It's a very hard thing, you know? Very hard to understand. Why does the Gazlan have to reimburse the person who he fooled? Very, very hard thing to understand. Unless you say it's some cipher, that it's implied in the shtar. Some cipher says that every time you buy something from someone, it's implied that it's his. He sells you a house, it's implied it's his. It's implied that he's guaranteeing it. At safe color guarantees. He's guaranteeing everything. All right. You know, if we're stuck, we'll have to be makabel. That's good for the chiddush of the sugya. But if someone could come up with a klal, it would be that a klal and shas, why you have to pay, that would fit here. It would be much better than to say this is a new din that you have to pay him. But it's the hard part of the sugya is to understand that part. When the Rambam brings the rule of a nigzal selling a field that's not his. And of course, if you sell a field that's not yours, it's a davar pashut that you have to give back the money to the person you sold it from. It's a davar pashut. The Rambam brings it in the same halacha in Hilchas Mechira, Perek Yutes, of achrayis as a bal chayv. In other words, the Rambam says in one sentence, if I sell you a field, and it turns out either that it's not my field, or that I'm a bal chayv and my malva comes and takes it away from you. Either way, I have to reimburse you. Achrayis, even if I didn't write achrayis to a sefer, I have to reimburse you. Now he brings it in one din. The Brisker Rav is bothered. Why does he bring two such cases in one din? It sounds like two very different cases, right? Imagine, someone sells you a house and it's not his. Terrible person, right? Right? What kind of deal is that? It's a ganzen not a deal. Now imagine case number two. Someone sells you a house, it is his. It is his house, he sells it to your bachrayis. And then the Baal Chayv comes and takes it away from you. You're not happy the Baal Chayv took it. But it's not quite the same as someone selling you something that's not his. Like, how do you group the two together in one sentence? Right? It's like two different things. One, the guy's a con artist. He's going around selling something that's not his. And one, the person's an honest person. He just happens to owe money. He's guaranteeing it. He's selling it by achrayas. How do you lump it together? So the Brisker Rav sees in this Rambam the yisoid that I mentioned at the end of the day on Thursday. The chiddush of the Brisker Rav by achrayas is that if I sell you a field and I owe someone money, and it ends up the person takes the field from you because I owe him money, he takes it from you, the Brisker Rav holds that's a bittul of the original mechira. Just like if I sell you a stolen field that's not mine, it comes out the original mechira was ois mechira, it was not a mechira. The Brisker Rav teaches achrayis the same way. That if I sell you a field and it turns out that I owe someone money and the person takes it from you, when he takes it from you, it's mevatel the whole mechira. The whole mechira is ois mechira meikara. It's not a mechira, it's not pshat, it's a mechira, and then at the time that he comes and he takes it, now a new thing is happening. The Rambam holds that it's a bittul of the original mechira. Just like if I'm selling to someone else's field and he comes and takes it, it's a bittul of the original mechira. The same thing, if I sell you a field which is mine, legitimately, and a Ba'chayv takes it, it's a bittul of the original mechira. What's a nafkamina? Anybody? What's the difference if you learn achrayis is a bittul of the original mechira, or if you learn it's a new thing that happens? I sold you a field. Ba'chayv took it. It's a new thing. What's the difference if I look at it, it's a bittul of the original mechira, or if he's... Or no, the original mechira was chal, and now he's taking it away from you. Huh? Be a nafkamina if the field changed in value. Let's say I sold you a $1 million house, and real estate property went down. Now it's worth $900,000. The Balchayv takes away a $900,000 house. What do I get reimbursed? Now, before the Brisker Rav came along, I would have said, you only get reimbursed $900,000. There's no crook here. The person sold you a place legitimately, sold you a house for $1 million. He told you Bachrayis. And now Bachayv took it away when it was worth $900,000. I would think he'd get reimbursed $900,000. The Brisker Rav says, the Rambam holds, you get reimbursed the full $1 million of the original sale. Because the achrayis of the original sale, it makes that the original sale is bottled when the Bachayv comes and takes it. Just like by Nigzal. The original chayv is bottled lagamri. So too by achrayis, the original mecher is bottled lagamri. It's a chiddush. But it's a clearer way of looking at it that the whole mecher is a mecher, kilu is a mechira betos. Because, what? So why would you say if it went up? Here you have to think. Let's say it went up. I sold you a house for $1 million. Now it's 1.1. And my Balchayv comes and takes it away. How much do I have to give you? Why 1.1? So you have to pay 1.1 because of Mishtar Shalem. Because Lamaisa, I'm paying up your $1.1 million Chayv. So if it goes up in value and your Balchayv takes it, I get the higher amount. Because it went up, that's Mishtar Shalem. If it goes down in value, then I still get the million because you guaranteed the million at the time in a mechira. Now, you could be mefakfik on this, but the Rambam says, the beferish, yichsifa, if it goes down, you get the original value. If it goes up, you get the later value. Yara lekeach al ha'elyayna. Get the original value. What about Merzi Karibis by...
Sale,
should be vayt to Mezzi Karibis. It's a good question. What about Mezzi Karibis? I sell someone a field and my Balchayv takes it. Why is that Mezzi Karibis? It's a Bechira, but the Brisker Rav is saying that's just like a Zayla, that the original Bechira is really Bach. It's a Bechira B'tos.
That's what Rashi is coming to explain.
That's exactly what Rashi is coming to explain. Rashi says, Leib
B'chayiv. It's not Bach. That's because the Bechira is not Bach. It was a good Bechira, and it now is exiled right now.
But Rashi says it's only good mechura if it wasn't taken away.
Rashi says, "Hashta, who the hadas zavin minei karka mechuralai." That's what you mean, right?
No.
What do you mean?
In the second white line.
Yeah, I was reading this, at the end of the second line.
It's a good mechura as long as it's not taken away. But once it's taken away, it's mashma like Rashi saying, like the biskurav. It's not a good mechura. Mm-hmm. And yet, Rashi is explaining why it is not
Mechira. So Rashi said, because originally it was a Mechira. And you're saying...
No, Rashi is saying that since it was a Mechira before, until the guy grabbed it, it was a good Mechira. That means it was Hakka Mechira. Now when he grabs it from now,
so it should still be a problem as he Karibis. Okay, I think I can answer you. I just want everyone to chap what we're talking about. The Gemara says, like Shmuel, and I think we pass it like Shmuel, that it's Merzi Karibis. If you sell me a stolen field for $1 million, and then it goes up in value, for me to give you back the higher value is Merzi Karibis. So we're asking now that what? That by a Bachayv should be the same thing. If I sell you a field, my Bachayv takes it away. It should be the same thing. That's true, Rashi is zichabavarning it. The question is how Rashi is answering it. I would think that Rashi is answering it in line with the svara of the Balamar. The Balamar explains, what's the machlekes Rav and Shmuel? It's not only the Balamar, the Tvar brings it, I think, B'Shem the Balamar. I don't know, it says B'Shem Beis Tuf, abbreviation. I don't know what that means, Bala Trumas. Can't be the Bala Trumas. He was later than the Tvar. So I don't know. But anyway, he says the following. What's the machlekes Rav and Shmuel by Goslin? He says Rav holds that it's a shtar mechira. When a Goslin sells me a house, even though it's not his house, it's a shtar mechira. It's a shtar mechira, which is fraudulent. But Rav says that's not a loan. It's a mecher. There's no ribbis on a mecher. Ribbis is on a loan. Shmuel holds that if you sell me a house that's not yours, you sell me a house that's not yours, that's a shtar halva. That is a halva, because it's not a mecher, because how could you sell something that's not yours? So Shmuel looks at it as a shtar halva. So that's true. Shmuel looks at it as a shtar halva. It's mezi karibis. When you sell me a house that doesn't exist, when you sell me a house that does exist, or a field that you do own, there, Shmuel will be meider. That's a shtar mecher. It's not a shtar halva. There's no problem that it looks like ribbis. What do you mean it looks like ribbis? It looks like a mechira that's chayzer. Ribbis derais it's a chenat. Because there's no ribbis ksutza here. Nobody was kites. It's ribbis. It's only a question of what it looks like. So just like the Baal Amor says in Rav, that Rav looks at it as a shtar mecher. By shtar mecher, there's no mezik ribbis. Stama by a Baal Chayv, everyone will look at it as a shtar mecher. And by shtar mecher, there's no mechzik ribbis. It doesn't look like ribbis. It looks like a mechira. It doesn't look like a loan. That's how we would be differentiate between the two cases, huh?
The chesed of Shmuel is saying that since when I sell you a house that wasn't mine,
that's a shtar alva.
There was no sale. According to the verse this morning, even a real mechira.
It's bottled.
He's saying it's bottled. It means there was no
but to
mechira.
Say the shtar wasn't a shtar mechira, it was a shtar mechira, and now it's bottled. It was a toss. There's a very big difference between a mechira, which is bottled because it's like a mekach toss. It's bottled because there was a toss involved, which is the fact that there was a Baal Chayv who took it. Or if I sell you something, it's not mine. If I sell you something that's not mine, I'm tricking you into lending money. It's mezi. I understand, but we're only worried about mezi. It's not real ribbis anyway. Is it mezi by Baal Chayv? Is it mezi?
If it is the same exact law, this is working the same way, but the regular person of the sheet is not going to look at it and see it as a...
Won't see it as a mezi. Because there was a mecher. Shas Ma'aseh, I meant there's a mecher. So, Not when someone sells a field that's not his. Nobody sees it as a shtar mecher. No one in the world is going to look at a shtar mecher, except for Rav looks at a shtar mecher. I understand, but once it's this gala, it's not a shtar mecher. No one's going to hold it as a shtar mecher. I'll give you an example. Let's say somebody sells a house that's not his, right? And now we find out it's not his. Is the government going to come after the seller for sales tax? Of course not. What sales tax? There's no sales tax. You sold something that wasn't yours. If someone sells a field, which is his, he does sell it, and later, like, half takes it, the government will be tevea sales tax. Would it make sense? It would make sense. I know Tiny's potter, because his bottle... Even with the briskerov, the mecher, bishas maisit, the shtar was a shtar mecher. The mecher is bottle. But to say the shtar was a shtar halva... Balmora seems to say that it does depend on how you define the original deal. Do you redefine the original deal as a...
The original deal was a loan. I'm saying don't look at the... You don't even have to look at the paper, per se. Look at the deal. What happened? If the whole mechira was dissolved, then that's it. It's a loan. There's no karka emoi. That's according to what we're saying, karka emoi.
The lashon of Balmora is, kiven the nimsa shena shalai, lesnu lesvine klal, v'avale alva, and mainly has to reimburse. But his vart is that it blibes shtarei halva. No one, I don't think anybody's going to say, certainly the way David is saying, something like merzik halva, it's merzik mecher. But even the Bamis, it's not a halva. It's a mecher gone bad. No one's going to call it a halva. Ganiv, people are going to laugh at you if you say it's a mecher. Say it's a sale. What kind of sale? It's a halva.
You never look at the site number by Merzik. You always look at the site number by Merzik. There's no Merzik. For every case of the Saif Davar, there's no Maxi anymore. We always look at the beginning. What is this Maisel going to look at? We're not talking about someone who knows all the information.
No, we are. We're talking because we're talking at the time that he gives him back the Shvach. At the time he returns the Shvach, we have to know. At the end is a Mezzi Karibis. At the time he pays him back, he knows all the information. The time he pays him back, of course he knows all the information. That's why he's paying him back. No, it means even for the two people themselves, it looks like Rivas. Could mean a third party, but Labdach, and Mezik Rivas, even for the parties themselves. It seems like Rivas. What did you do? You came, you sold me a field that's not yours. So it's like I lent you money. It's Kshtori Alva.
That's what it is. We always say that Mezik, where this happened, they can make some mistake. They're not making mistakes here. It's either, that's the only time we say
Mezik. Look, I'm telling you that the Balamora says it's Mezik Rivas because it's Kshtori Alva. And I'm telling you, you could argue with that, but the Balamora explains Shmuel that way. Now you're asking me that in the Rambam's case it should be the same thing. So I'm answering you that in the Rambam's case it's certainly not Mezik Shtar Alva. It was a legitimate sale with Achrayus. There are a lot of times that you sell things by Achrayus. It's not the only time. What would be if I sell you a house and I tell you b'feirush shalei b'Achrayus? Huh? I go to you, I show you a house, I say I'm selling it to you. I make up tonight right away, whatever happens, even if it's not my house, I'm not giving you the money back. I write the tie into the shtar. Why you would buy such a thing, I don't know. What would be the din in such a case? I sell you a house that's not mine. I write the fairy shalei b'achrayus. And you agree to it for some reason. So what happens afterwards? Do I have to pay you back? Huh? I don't have to pay you back. Why not? Huh? What? Chesed Kitri, what's it called? Huh? Yeah, L'chayre, that's right.
It doesn't make sense to you what he's saying. If he's selling something, he's obviously saying it's mine. Because I'm selling it. But if he's also saying that if it's not mine, then I can't give it back. Then he's also saying that if it's not mine, I'm not reimbursing you. It doesn't really make sense what he's saying.
You're right. It's hard to imagine such a thing would ever happen. It's hard to imagine that it would ever happen. But if it would happen, l'chayra kol tanai shel b'mamon kayim. That's what I would say.
All right.
No, the kinyan was giving him the money. You gave me the money, and I made up with you in exchange for this money. You get whatever rights I have in this house. I'm not guaranteeing I have any rights in the house. Whatever I have goes to you. That's what I'm telling you. Whatever I own in this house goes to you. I'm not giving. Given, it's a bet. It's like a bet. You buy a lottery ticket. You go back. You buy a lottery ticket. You go back. You say, listen, there's a mecha toss. This lottery ticket didn't win. You say, that's what you bought. You bought a lottery ticket and a chance it'll win. You say, yeah, the guy bought it. And, you know, shaitan. Can I tell you, can I sell you last week's lottery ticket? And I'll tell you, no achrayus. If it's winning, it won. If not, none, I'll sell it to you. And give me a dollar for it. So you can't ask me for my money back. If I misrepresented, yeah, but if I don't. I don't know if it won or it didn't win. I'll sell it to you. No? So it's a mekach. What's a din if I sell you a field that is mine? That is mine. But shalai b'achrayis of a balchayv. I'm making up with you. I'm selling you the field. But shalai b'achrayis of a balchayv takes it from you, I'm off the hook. Is that a good mechira? For sure. For sure. Why is it a good mechira? How would you explain it? How would you explain it? I sell you a field. I tell you beferish. Listen, I owe people money. If they end up taking the field from you, I'm not achroi. So that's a good mechira. How would you explain why is that a good mechira? Mechira shalai b'achrayis. What expression would you use for that? The Gemara. Why? Well, how would you explain it? If you have to explain to somebody, why is it good? What? Like the Gemara says, he bought Ara Leben Yaimah. Why would you say it's good? I think you would say it's good because that's the deal. That's the mechira that you did. Like you say, you bought the field for a day. When the Rambam brings this down, he says the reason. The Rambam says that if you sell someone a field, Shalai Bachrayas, and the Bachayv takes it, your potter, he gives a reason. Because, Kol Tanai Shebamam in Kayim. Because any deal you make a mom and this is counts. He says that's why the mecher is chal. Because kol tanai sheba mom and kain. So again, the Brisker Rav says, why does he say? Because kol tanai sheba mom and kain. Say that was the deal. I sold you a field. It was my field, and I sold it to you on the condition that if a bachayv comes, it's tough on you. You're taking the achrayis. I'm not taking any achrayis. Why does he use an expression kol tanai sheba mom and kain? The Brisker Rav sees this as a second mashmois that the Rambam holds that if I sell you a field normally, be'achrayis, and someone comes and takes it away, that the whole mecher is really batel me'ikara, it's a mekatos. Just like if I sell you someone else's field, it's a mekatos. The Rambam really holds that when I sell you a field, be'achrayis, and a bachayv takes it, the original mecher is batel. Since the original mecher is batel, so therefore, now you have a kasha, shalei b'achrayis, why don't we say the original mekach is batel? So he has to give a reason, because kol tanai sheba mamin kayim. What the Rambam doesn't say, the way we would say, is the original mecher is a mecher. And that was the deal, and the deal was, you only own it ben yoimai, until somebody comes and takes it away. But again, the Brisker Rav sees in the Rambam, he has more than this, these two Rambams, he has three or four Rambams, one of which I mentioned on Thursday, which is mashma that Taich Achrayis is a bitl of the original Mechira. A bitl of the original Mechira, so why Shloi Bachrayis, why does that count? Because Kol Tanai Sheba Mamin Kayim. Because it's the Taich Sheba Mamin which counts. But this is the Brisker Rav's side in selling Bachrayis by Balchayv. By Balchayv, he says, He says that even by Balchayv. Okay, tomorrow we're going to try to finish as much of the Yomid as we could. Look into the Nukhi Yosef. It brings a very important Gemara from Baba Basra and an explanation. So we'll do the Nukhi Yosef tomorrow on the next Gemara.